Into the Breach, an apostolic exhortation to Catholic men, my spiritual sons in the Diocese of Phoenix. Thomas J. Olmsted, Bishop of Phoenix. And I sought for a man among them who should build up a wall and stand in the breach before me for the land. Ezekiel 22:30. A call to battle. I begin this letter with a clarion call and clear charge to you, my sons and brothers in Christ. Men, do not hesitate to engage in the battle that is raging around you, the battle that is wounding our children and families, the battle that is distorting the dignity of both women and men. This battle is often hidden, but the battle is real. It is primarily spiritual, but it is progressively killing the remaining Christian ethos of our society and culture, and even in our own homes. The world is under attack by Satan, as our Lord said it would be. This battle is occurring in the church herself, and the devastation is all too evident. Since AD 2000, 14 million Catholics have left the faith. Parish religious education of children has dropped by 24%. Catholic school attendance has dropped by 19%. Infant baptism has dropped by 28%. Adult baptism has dropped by 31%, and sacramental Catholic marriages have dropped by 41%. This is a serious breach, a gaping hole in Christ's battle lines. While the Diocese of Phoenix has fared better than these national statistics, the losses are staggering. One of the key reasons that the Church is faltering under the attacks of Satan is that many Catholic men have not been willing to step into the breach, to fill this gap that lies open and vulnerable to further attack. A large number have left the faith, and many who remain Catholic practice the faith timidly and only minimally committed to passing the faith on to their children. Recent research shows that large numbers of young Catholic men are leaving the faith to become nuns, men with no religious affiliation. The growing losses of young Catholic men will have a devastating impact on the Church in America in the coming decades, as older men pass away and young men fail to remain and marry in the Church, accelerating the losses that have already occurred. These facts are devastating. As our fathers, brothers, uncles, sons, and friends fall away from the church, they fall deeper and deeper into sin, breaking their bonds with God and leaving them vulnerable to the fires of hell. While we know that Christ welcomes back every repentant sinner, the truth is that large numbers of Catholic men are failing to keep the promises they made at their children's baptisms, promises to bring them to Christ and to raise them in the faith of the church. This crisis is evident in the discouragement and disengagement of Catholic men like you and me. In fact, this is precisely why I believe this exhortation is needed, and it is also the reason for my hope, for God constantly overcomes evil with good. The joy of the gospel is stronger than the sadness wrought by sin. A throwaway culture cannot withstand the new life and light that constantly radiates from Christ. So I call upon you to open your minds and hearts to Him, the Saviour who strengthens you to step into the breach. Purpose of this exhortation. I offer this exhortation as an encouragement, a challenge, and a calling forth to mission for every willing man in the Diocese of Phoenix. Priests and deacons, husbands, fathers and sons, grandfathers and widowers, young men in preparation for your vocation, that is, each and every man. With this exhortation, I want to clarify for you the nature of this mission from Christ, for which I will rely on the clear guidance of the Holy Scriptures, the Magisterium of the Church, and the example of the saints. In this exhortation, I will address three primary questions. Number one, what does it mean to be a Christian man? Number two, how does a Catholic man love? Number three, why is fatherhood, fully understood, so crucial for every man? Before addressing these three basic questions, it is important to put them into proper context. In the following section, I will explain three important contexts that help us understand the main questions. Context number one, a new apostolic movement, the new evangelization. First, a new apostolic movement is upon us at this time in the history of the Church. The Holy Spirit is bringing about what recent popes have termed the new evangelization. By evangelization, we mean the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ by all means available, such as preaching, teaching, witnessing a fruitful and faithful family life, living celibacy for the sake of God's kingdom, employing media and other arts placed at the service of the gospel. And what is new? The newness of our times is this. In the West, we find ourselves in the midst of competing cultures, particularly in cities and neighborhoods where the gospel once permeated quite deeply. Jesus Christ's great commission to go out to the whole world and to share the good news has already happened where we live. This permeation of Western culture was once so deep that, in a sense, it became part of the soil, and we still stand on that soil in certain ways. It is evident in the current assumptions about life, which come directly from the Greco-Roman Judeo-Christian framework, assumptions regarding fairness, equality, virtue, human dignity, compassion, representative government, the Golden Rule, the Ten Commandments, the hospital, the university, and other clearly positive developments in the history of civilization. All this is our patrimony and inheritance from our spiritual ancestors. We find ourselves standing on this rich soil, where blessings are many because the gospel has been taught here, received in faith, and put into practice. Yet at the same time, termites are hard at work in this soil. Here, in the developed desert of Arizona, we know termites well. Home builders know that no home built in our climate is entirely immune from these hungry, subterranean insects. Likewise, no culture, deeply Christian though it may be, is immune to the corruption of half-truths and hidden sin. Many fruits of our Christian heritage still exist, but the roots below the soil are under siege. Much about our culture remains good and must be preserved, but it would be foolish to ignore the current and growing trends that threaten the remaining good, and dangerous to risk squandering the patrimony with which we have been blessed. The answer and only ultimate solution is the new evangelization of which we speak. Pope St. John Paul II, with whom I was blessed to work closely for 9 years, and who has inspired many men, reminds us of this needed response. Quote, "There is no solution to the social question apart from the gospel." With this exhortation, I gladly make his words my own. There is no solution to our cultural decline apart from the gospel of Jesus. This is daunting, perhaps, but surely an adventure. In the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus tells us, "Behold, I make all things new." That all things old and tired, sinful and broken, are renewed in his incarnation, death and resurrection. Could this possibly be true? The answer is a resounding yes. A true Catholic man stakes his whole life on this proposition, that all is made new in Jesus Christ. Our Lord has promised that he is and will always be with us. Thus, Catholic men across the centuries have responded to the call to enter the battle, ever ancient and ever new, and I have confidence that you will respond alike to fill the breach in our time. Be confident, be bold, forward into the breach. Context number two, a field hospital and a battle college. In his homilies, Pope Francis has described the Church today as, quote, "a field hospital after battle. A constant source of mercy in order to endure and overcome wounds that we all bear. The Church is also the powerful source of truth to heal men and prepare them to battle another day for Christ." Here in Phoenix, as elsewhere, the Church is finding, though must redouble its efforts to find, the paths to healing for ourselves and the means to care for others who, like us, bear the mark of the fall in debilitating ways. Whether these wounds be physical or spiritual, addiction to pornography, alcohol, drugs, food, broken marriages, fatherlessness, and troubled family life. Our time calls for a renewal of the Church's genius for physical and spiritual healing, given to her by the Holy Spirit. As Pope Francis says, the wounded are all around us, and, quote, it is useless to ask a seriously injured person if he has high cholesterol and about the level of his blood sugars. You have to heal the wounds. At the same time, the proclamation of the fullness of truth found in the Catholic Church is essential. This leads you, men, to live lives where sins do not cause festering wounds. Through Christ's mercy and truth, we are healed and revitalized for battle. In Christ's mercy and truth, we become strong in His strength, courageous with His courage, and can actually experience the joie de guerre of being soldiers for Christ. Since the Church as field hospital after battle is an appropriate analogy, then another complementary image is appropriate for our day, the spiritual battle college. The Church is, and always has been, a school that prepares us for spiritual battle, where Christians are called to, quote, fight the good fight, and to put on the armor of God, and to be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. Ever since Jesus chose the 12 apostles, formed them in his presence, and sent them out in his name, he has continued to choose and form men through his church, and to send them out to the wounded. This is the meaning of the word apostle, men who are sent. With this letter, then, my sons and brothers, I urge you to heed Jesus' call and to let him form your mind and your heart with the light of the gospel for the purpose of being sent. This is why this letter is an apostolic exhortation. I am hereby exhorting you to step into the breach, to do the work of Christ's soldiers in the world today. Context number 3. Man and woman are complementary, not competitors. The complementarity of masculinity and femininity is key to understanding how human persons image God. Without knowing and appreciating this, we cannot know ourselves or our mission as men, nor can women embrace their own vocations, confident in the Father's love. Men and women are certainly different. Science increasingly deepens our understanding of this difference. Up until recently, we had very little idea of the complex working of hormones, chemical reactions, and the brain differences present in boys and girls, men and women, all in response to the presence of the XX or XY combination of chromosomes present at conception. For example, the significantly greater amount of corpus callosum, the connective nerve fibers between the two sides of the brain, in the average woman is a fascinating discovery, as is the way the male brain is typically more segmented in its functions. Studies show that, on average, infant girls will look at the face of a silent adult twice as long as infant boys, more interested in the person by God's design. All these biological facts discovered by science add to our knowledge and to the symphony of complementarity between man and woman, something at which we rightly wonder and in which we rejoice when we encounter the beauty of sexual difference. This difference is also a challenge, since misunderstanding can creep in, and sin can cause us to lose respect for one another, robbing us of our hope for peaceful and fruitful collaboration between men and women. But this struggle between the sexes is not the fault of God's creation, it is the result of sin. Pope Francis put it this way: man and woman are the image and likeness of God. This tells us that not only is man taken in himself the image of God, not only is woman taken in herself the image of God, but also man and woman, as a couple, are the image of God. The difference between man and woman is not for opposition or for subordination, but for communion and procreation, always in the image and likeness of God. Alongside this struggle, the rapid advance of gender ideology has infected societies around the world. This ideology seeks to set aside the sexual differences created by God, to remove male and female as the normative way of understanding the human person, and in its place, to add various other categories of sexuality. This ideology is destructive for individuals and society, and it is a lie. It is harmful to the human person, and therefore a false concept that we must oppose as Christians. At the same time, however, we are called to show compassion and to provide help for those who experience confusion about their sexual identity. This confusion is not unexpected when the poison of secularism reaches such critical levels. When God is forgotten, the creature itself becomes unintelligible. The damaging impact of this gender ideology on individuals and society was addressed at length this year by Pope Francis. Quote, "I ask myself if the so-called gender theory is not an expression of frustration and resignation, which seeks to cancel out sexual difference because it no longer knows how to confront it. Yes, we risk taking a step backwards. The removal of difference, in fact, creates a problem, not a solution. In order to resolve the problems in their relationships, men and women need to speak to one another more, listen to each other more, get to know one another better, love one another more. They must treat each other with respect and cooperate in friendship." As Pope Francis reminds us all to love one another more, I exhort you, my sons and brothers in Jesus Christ, to embrace more deeply the beauty and richness of the sexual difference and to defend it against false ideologies. Having now established the context in which to understand the questions addressed in this exhortation, I will now respond to the above stated questions themselves.